Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, I am grateful to have my son Clayton with me on this broadcast this evening. Earlier this week, the nation had a momentous election, and very thankful that God answered the prayers of some of us. But the fact of the matter is, regardless of the outcome of elections, God is not running for election. Jesus has already been given all authority in heaven and on earth. And one day every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So while I'm thankful that in many places folks stood up on behalf of unborn children and against the mutilation of children who have been born, I'm thankful that regardless of disagreements about policy, our country still has the capacity to hold elections and for people to express their convictions through their vote. And so I asked Clayton, whose degree is in law and focus has been in constitutional law, but who has now been for years pouring himself into working with underprivileged kids and helping them find eternal life in Jesus Christ. I asked him if he'd come on the broadcast with us and talk this evening about sort of what's going on in our nation and what happened with the election and where do we go from here as followers of Jesus. Now, if you're listening this evening and you don't know Jesus, we both want you to know that that's what matters eternally. Everything else is temporary. My wife just got back home this week, having had a mini stroke that landed her in the hospital for a few days. We're very thankful to have her back home. But when they asked her at the hospital, I was in the room when they asked, they said, "We don't anticipate this, but if you should get into a crisis mode and your heart stops and so forth, what is your wish regarding resuscitation?" And she said, "DNR." She said, if my heart stops, I would much rather go to be with the Lord. So it's a wonderful thing when you can live this life with your eyes on heaven, when you can know that God is the one who is our eternal home. And so I just want to encourage you, if you don't know him, right where you are this evening, you can cry out to God for mercy and ask him not just to forgive your sins, but to give you new life. That said, Clayton, welcome to the broadcast.
I'm glad to be here.
Tell us your perspective on lessons learned from this election.
Well, one of the big lessons is that Republicans embraced early voting, and not all Republicans, but some Republicans. The previous concerns about early voting and fears about early voting meant that people just didn't do it at all. And really, if you do have an early voting operation that's effective nationwide, then it enables you on the day of to target the right voters who you still think would vote for your party but who have not voted yet. So in rural areas, if you already have 80% of the people voting who you expect to vote, getting the 20% the day of voting means that you can call them, you can email them, you can text them, you can offer them a ride. And so the big top line note that everyone should take away from this is that the mainstream media is over, and that polling as a trusted pollsters is also over. John Ralston is a brilliant man. He is a brilliant data analyst. He refused to believe the data that I was reading from him. I was reading the data that he was putting out, kind of a commentary on this group, this county, this place. He knows Nevada politics intimately. I would say he's the best in the country at understanding Nevada politics, but he couldn't believe what he was seeing, so he didn't. He has been correct for the last, I think, 7 cycles. He's never been wrong. And he said Kamala Harris would win Nevada. She did not. He was wrong. And again, it's because at this point, probably the most important thing as Christ followers, no matter what our backgrounds are, our beliefs are, is to extend grace and mercy and love and compassion to those who are around us, and to recognize that people are not okay. I listened to a BBC series of video interviews and read a story in the Wall Street Journal that really struck a deep chord in me, and I think the Lord used to kind of temper me, because before this election happened, we had a lot of early voting data, right. And we had enough early voting data that I just pointed out this fact, which is unless the day of Kamala Harris has more votes in Atlanta, Charlotte, Philadelphia, Milwaukee and Detroit than Barack Obama had in 2008. She cannot win. Mm-hmm. It's not possible. But I also, as I thought about that and looked at that, thought, how can everyone be getting this wrong? And there are elements of groupthink that have permeated the mainstream media where they are totally disconnected from the people. And where, in fact, there's times that the mask slips a little bit, if the president calls half of America garbage, that you can tell part of the reason that people don't understand is because they don't want to be in relationship, they don't want to be around, they don't want to connect with people who are different than them.
Right.
Now, as Christians, we should deeply want to understand others, to love others well, to help others. And that's what I would urge everyone around this result is be curious, but also be compassionate. I was at a birthday party on Sunday, and there were two intelligent people there, and they had concerns about what would happen if Trump won that were, it seemed to me, deeply delusional to the extent that at first I thought they were joking. We're going to be rounded up. Well, no, you're not. And in fact, if you know constitutional law history, Korematsu, which is the only time we've rounded up U.S. citizens and had the Supreme Court give a stamp of approval, was done under FDR. Mm-hmm. He was not a Republican, and he certainly was the opposite of a conservative Republican.
Right.
And large statists who want to use governmental power to oppress their political enemies might look like, I don't know, the IRS auditing all of the Tea Party people and slow playing them and lying about it under oath, or the Department of Justice lying and working in concert with a political party to go after enemies, or the FBI doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. So ultimately, part of the reason that people are so shocked by this is because they are living in a delusional world of projection, where they believe that the sins they commit are going to be revisited upon them. They can't imagine that we actually support a government that doesn't go after people and round them up. I've been called a fascist by people who, when I discuss to them, what do you believe fascism means, were sheepishly, at the end of the conversation, able to say, yes, not only are you not a fascist, but you're pretty much the opposite of a fascist, because I believe in a government that is small enough to fit in the Constitution.
Yes.
And a government that is small enough to fit inside the Constitution cannot round people up. It's not possible. And so, again, There's a lot of things to learn from this and a lot of headlines. Another one that's very important and that I think our radio listeners should be heartened by, I said in my analysis of it, listen, this was the uneducated against the educated. And a friend of mine who has a successful business and is intelligent, but who doesn't have a college degree, was a little offended and said, you know, why are you saying uneducated? And I said, I'm talking about data. Mm-hmm. But I said, but also I want to say that I identify as a person with, you know, a terminal degree a lot more with people who didn't go to college than I do with most people who went to college, because the academy in the United States has been taken over by Marxists. Yes. Who are so insane that it takes a special kind of college-educated foolishness to say that you support, for instance, Hamas and gay rights.
Yeah.
Hamas, a terrorist organization that no one should support. And gay rights, something that is so incompatible with Hamas that a gay rights activist in a Hamas-controlled territory would be thrown from a high building until they were dead.
Right.
And the only way to believe that you support both of those things is to have your brain somewhat broken by propaganda and by a woke mind virus that makes you think you don't have to be consistent. You can shape your own truth. And you need to vote virtue signal in ways that are not complimentary or consistent, and that's okay.
Yeah.
So again, what prevailed in many ways is common sense. 85% of America said, we do not believe it's okay for a man who has gone through puberty to pretend he is female and to beat up our girls in
right.
sports.
Right.
We're against that. We do not support that. We'll never support that. That's 85% of America.
Mm-hmm.
But the most educated people in America said, oh, you ignorant people, gender's not real. A man is not a man unless he tells you he's a man, because he could be a them. He may not be a man or a woman. He may be a them,
mm-hmm.
which may be true spiritually if they have multiple demons living inside of them.
Yes.
But it is not true in terms of a gender construct, because God made them male and female.
Amen.
And it was good. And so ultimately, a huge lesson from all of this is that the created order is real, and people who haven't engaged in deep propaganda are the most likely people to understand what the truth is. So we look at these crosstabs, we look at all the data, we get down deep in the data. People who have wisdom are not the same as people who have education.
Amen.
And I would way rather listen and learn from someone who knows scripture and has been shaped by it mm-hmm. than someone who has multiple degrees and believes the foolish lie that the Bible isn't true.
Right. Amen. God's word shapes us in wisdom, because God's word is truth. And there is such a thing as truth. It's actually true. But there are so many people who have just decided, well, I'm going to have to just turn my brain off in order to believe the Bible. You need to prayerfully turn your brain on and study what the Bible says in order to understand who you are, what's going on in the world, and who God is. And I'm so grateful that within the last couple of years, and intensifying, I would say more and more even in the last year, there have been a lot of people who, I won't name celebrities right now, but there have been a lot of people who are celebrities who have kind of come out of the woodwork saying, you know, I thought people who believed the Bible were just stupid. I thought that they were the ones who didn't know what was going on. Now, in the words of one of them, I'm realizing that the only people in the room who really understand and can make sense of what's going on are the ones who know their Bible. And that's why yeah. this individual said, I now want to learn what the Bible says, because God's word doesn't change. You know, cultures come and go. Governments come and go. Civilizations collapse. But God's word remains true. And those who trust in the Lord will not be disappointed and don't have to be afraid. Under no circumstances should God's people ever be in a situation where we're terrified of the future. If you fear God in a way of righteous awe, that you're just amazed by his greatness, if you fear the Lord, you don't have to fear anything else. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. All of us are going to have to answer to God, and the only safe place is in Christ Jesus.
Amen. We also have, again, the end of the mainstream media. I mean, these are just quick things to think about, but they're important as you analyze it, especially for Christians. This is probably a premature announcement, but we are hoping that we can share more of Ware's Valley Ranch, what we do, how we do it, and just fun little times of people riding horses and other things through something like YouTube. Mm-hmm. Well, here's what's happened. Barron Trump, who is Trump's youngest child, told him, "Dad, young people aren't listening to the Washington Post. They don't care what the New York Times says. They don't watch NBC ever. You've got to be on TikTok. You've got to be on Twitter, X now. Thank you, Elon Musk. You've got to get into these podcasts." And Donald Trump went on podcasts that he had never heard of and explicitly told the influencers, "I've never met you. My son says you're a great," you know. So he went on these shows and had these conversations, and he reached more young people through that than all of the mainstream media combined. And that also means that the ability of the mainstream media to lie to you, President Obama lying again about Donald Trump and saying that he said both sides in Charlottesville were very fine people, when what he said is, "I am not talking about racist and neo-Nazis, but on the issue of removing Confederate statues, there are very fine people on both sides." He's repeating that lie, and in the old 20 years ago system, the only thing that could be heard was the lie, mm-hmm. because there was nothing else to break through. But currently, him repeating that lie, and Washington Post and New York Times and all these other legacy media brands repeating the lie, mm-hmm. isn't going to work and didn't work. And the reason is there's a ton of other ways you can get your information. Now, most of the people, and honestly, as a Christian, it was painful to me to encounter the largest podcast and the second largest podcast and the third largest podcast that are all run by people who need Jesus.
Yes.
So pray for those folks, because they have a huge platform. And I say they need Jesus because they talk about the fact that they're not Christians, and they also have incredibly foul language. Mm-hmm. It's not an interview that I would play for my kids. It's right. not something that I'm like, "Hey guys, listen, the president's great." By the way, that's another lesson from all of this for Christians. I am so thankful to God that Donald Trump won. I also am not going to lie to my kids and tell them that Donald Trump is a perfect paragon of Christian virtue and that I hope that they're just like him when they grow up. Mm-hmm. We need to be honest with our kids, especially if you're a parent at home with kids, about things like the importance of telling the truth.
Yes.
The importance of being kind. All of these biblical things, just as you said, have not changed. Biblical truth has not changed. Is Donald Trump massively better from a Christian perspective? I believe it's not even close, and I think that the big Eva people whose brains were broken, who said to vote for Kamala because they're Christians, genuinely are deluded. Mm-hmm. At the same time, I don't worship Donald Trump.
Amen.
And I pray deeply for Donald Trump, and I pray deeply for Donald Trump because he surrounded himself with wonderful Christians who I know on a regular basis are praying that he follows Christ with his whole heart. And so we should be praying for that, but the end of the media was where I started with all of that, and it's very important because finding ways to hear truth requires us to broaden our search in our perspective. But there's only one way to find ultimate perfect truth without any mixture of error, and that's to read, listen to, and be shaped by the Word of God.
Amen. Amen. It is definitely always going to be choosing a matter of policies, not personalities. Whether a person's likable, as I look back over some of the people I voted for in my younger years, I had a tendency to think, well, this person really seems to be a Christian. But if their policies were antithetical to biblical values? If their position was, well, personally, I'm opposed to abortion, but I'm not going to force my views on the American people. What about the children? What about the children that suffered as a result of, hey, I, you know, my personal views? Jimmy Carter put into Health and Human Services totally pro-abortion people, while he himself said he was opposed to abortion. That just doesn't make sense. But if the people you put in power in the government say pregnancy is a disease and abortion is the cure, and they're working in health, you've got a problem.
Amen.
And that tragically has been for many Christians something where they didn't connect the dots. They didn't look at what's the policy that this group represents. And if the policy calls for the destruction of children in the womb, if the policy calls for the mutilation of children who've been born, saying that young children, Biden said age 8, Tim Walz said age 6 is okay. Children need to be able to make their own decisions about their sexuality. If that policy had gone through, that removes all the barriers that the pedophiles currently have to try and overcome. Because pedophiles can say, this was consensual. This child wanted this. And the government, the federal government, was moving in the direction of saying, yep, little kids, elementary age kids, they can decide for themselves what they want sexually. That is a lie from the pit of hell. And I thank God. That is one of the main reasons I thank God that for the next 4 years, God willing, the federal government will still allow protection for children.
Yes, there are things that we believe are changing. You know, pollsters, mainstream media no longer controls information. But the other side that I would say, obviously, I think we all kind of know at some deep level. I had friends texting me this morning saying, hey, center me a little bit. I don't want to gloat. I don't want to mess with all my friends. But at the same time, I really do. Well, that's a normal human impulse, right? Conan the Barbarian, in a paraphrase of Genghis Khan, saying the greatest thing in life is to see your enemies driven before you and to hear the weepings and lamentations of their women. That's a normal human impulse, but it's not a Christian impulse. It's not a biblical impulse.
Amen.
So have compassion. Realize that a lot of the people who genuinely are afraid aren't well. If you encountered someone on the street and you said, are you okay? And they said, no, I'm very afraid of a dragon. You would know that they had some mental health problems.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in the same way, if you encounter someone on the street and they say, I'm very afraid of being rounded up and put in a concentration camp by this conservative government, that's a person who I would say is beyond ignorance into a level of some mental health problems.
Amen.
So be compassionate and be kind. But at the same time, the other side that will come up a good bit, and that I would say in my life experience with sweet friends, people are more hesitant about, is if your friend says, I worship Donald Trump, and they're more excited about this election than they've ever been at Easter thinking about Jesus rising from the dead.
Amen.
They need to know that they need to repent.
Yes.
And follow Christ as well.
Amen.
I am so thankful. I am so grateful. I view this as a move of providence. I'm not telling people, don't be happy. I'm saying, don't worship Trump. Don't worship any man. Worship Christ.
Amen.
And with thoughtfulness, realize that there are people around you who are Democrats, who need love and compassion, and who need your care, and who are Republicans, who need to be told, Trump is not going to save you.
Amen.
He's not going to fix every problem. We're still going to live in a fallen, sin-filled world, and we need to be living with wisdom as Christians who engage in our culture with love.
Amen. Clayton, thank you so much for coming on this evening, and may the Lord bless you and continue to use you mightily as you work with those children who are so precious to him.
Thank you. God bless you.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.